You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation. I cover the NFL around the internet, and you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. You can subscribe on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast in the state of Wisconsin, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. We have our interview with Packers receiver Jawil Davis tomorrow. He is a really interesting kid, and I think Packer fans are going to like him. So keep an eye out for that tomorrow. And as we head toward training camp, I think we're going to be hearing more from him, and just a name to keep an eye on, I think. Today, though, I want to talk about a couple things related to a story that came out in the last few days about the NFL proposing, not just floating, proposing an idea to go to an 18-game schedule, and not an 18-week schedule, because this is importantly different. Mark Murphy had some thoughts, and I think actually provided some clarity as to why the league wants to do this, and some potential workable structures that would make it possible to add games. But let's start with the broader picture here first. 18 games is stupid. Stupid. 16 already feels like borderline too many. Now, I understand that ownership in and around the league, and that the administration in Roger Goodell's office and the higher-ups, they've all agreed, it seems, that the preseason product is bad, because it is. And there's no reason there should be four games. You're adding injury risk. It should be like two games. And the starters, you know, the coaches want to keep it because it's an important evaluation tool. But franchises don't like it, because it's an added injury risk. Players don't like it, especially at least starters don't. Fringe roster players might be okay with it. And then, you know, the league, these games, they're not drawing incredible amounts of ratings. They're not doing huge revenue. The advertisers are not paying full boat for this kind of stuff. A lot of them aren't even nationally broadcast. So it's sort of like, you know, this is an entertainment product. First and foremost, you know, JJ Redick mentioned this on his podcast. He gets taxed as an entertainer. That's what he is. That's what the NFL is. The NFL is entertainment first. It is a product to be sold. We like to think about the purity of the game and the shield and protect the shield and all that stuff. It's entertainment. It's a movie. It's a soap opera. And the companies that pay to broadcast it pay an extraordinary amount to broadcast it. So if the games are not being widely broadcasted, like preseason games, the NFL Network has their games, and then you get your local games. Some of them are hyper-local. Then what is really the value of those games to the NFL and really to the viewing public? Now, clearly, you know, Packer fans, they want to see their games. They want to see those preseason games. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't broadcast them. I'm merely suggesting that the value of these games would potentially be higher if there were fewer of them. If there were only two preseason games. Now, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to play the same number of snaps. So this idea that, oh, well, starters, you know, they would suddenly miraculously play more. No, the team still needs to know who's going to make the roster. And if you shorten preseason, you need to expand OTAs and minicamp and the amount of time that teams can practice in the offseason, because part of the problem is insufficient time not only to coach these players, but an insufficient time to evaluate them and evaluate them in pressure situations, in live situations, because things are different. When you have live tackling, things just change. And a lot of NFL teams don't live tackle at all anymore in practice. We could talk, if we're talking about the Packers defense at certain points in the last few years, we'd be talking about them in games as well. But so what is, you know, important to the coaches and the front offices in terms of evaluating their players is having sufficient time to do that. More games means more time. The reality is, though, they know pretty close. I mean, they may not, from 90, they can get to 60 pretty easy. I mean, when I did my 53-man roster projections, it was not difficult to get down to 57, 58, somewhere in there. And then there's a group, and you're just sort of playing in those groups. There's a group of five guys that could make or could not make the team. It doesn't take that much time to figure out who those guys are. And maybe you have some tight matches and you have those guys on the field a little bit more. Aaron Rodgers still not going to play, at least not going to play much, a series, maybe two. You're going to get your offensive line starters a little bit more, and it is going to hurt the guys on the margins, the guys trying to make teams. Someone like James Crawford, who really on the backs of special teams play in preseason, earned a spot on this roster and now is getting snaps on defense with the second team and is going to get a chance to prove himself for this defense, for Mike Patton. That is useful, not just for the team, but for the player. But we're talking about this from the NFL's proposal of this. That means that there is a feeling in the league that they would benefit from more games, 18 games. Now, how would they benefit? This is not an evaluation question. This is no longer the preseason question. 18 games, okay. So Roger Goodell coming around on a shorter preseason was really just his way of opening the door, saying, oh, well, guys, here's what we're going to do. Fewer preseason games, more regular season games. See how that bait and switch works? So because it's not like Aaron Rodgers or David Bakhtiari or Devontae Adams is going to play any more or is going to play any less and play more because they had two more games. Now, part of this ridiculous, asinine proposal was that you have an 18-game schedule, but players could not play more than 16. And even if we gave the league the benefit of the doubt on this and they were going to make things like quarterback, kicker, punter, long snapper, if they were going to make some players immune to that rule, even if they were going to do that, it's a stupid rule. It's a stupid rule. Why would you have games where you are forcing your teams, your member teams in the NFL, to not play their best players? This is something that the NBA is actively trying to stop from happening in their league, where teams are sitting superstar players. And why is the league mad about it? Because it hurts the product on the floor. This is an entertainment product. It is marketed as entertainment. It is sold and packaged as entertainment. And if it's not entertaining, it's a bad product. Now, I don't want to call it a product in a way that is meant to imply a dehumanization of these players. I don't want to negate the humanity. It is a product in the same way a movie is a product and that actors are a part of that product. It is the same way you go to a play or you watch a TV show. It is more akin to that. I just want to be clear on this. The thing about extra games is it means extra money. It means extra money because you can charge at the gate. Now you're charging season ticket holders more. You're pocketing more cash from concessions, from parking, from all of the other ancillary things around the stadium that the Packers are going to be running in the coming years. This is all more money for them and for every team, for Jerry Jones and all these dudes. But if you're hurting the product on the field, if you have a game that Deshaun Kizer has to start, or you're going to turn on, you know, the Bills are already hard to watch. And now you're going to take Josh Allen, who is one of the reasons to watch because he's young and a little bit exciting. You're going to take that guy off the field? Tell me how that makes sense. Part of the offseason that we're going through now that teams have to go through is you have to sell your team to your fans. And when you're bad, you have to sell hope. Well, if Josh Allen is not playing, you can't be hopeful because it's the backup in. And it hurts the product on the field. So if you're taking measures to put money in your pocket while making the product worse, that is just the worst kind of craven money-grubbing behavior. Because you don't care about the product. If you support this as an owner to make money, you are putting your cards on the table by saying, I don't care if the product is good for the fans. I don't care about player safety. What I care about is money. And the thing about that for the owners is, if that is your idea, and that is a way that you think is a smart one to run a billion-dollar business, a multi-billion-dollar business for sure, then you're going to hurt the product on the field. And over time, the NBA is going to eat into your market share. And people are going to go to college football more often. And they're going to watch other stuff. Because, again, this is a product. And if your product sucks, listen, this is America. Capitalism reigns. If your product sucks, your customers are either going to find a new product or another company is going to create a better product and undercut you. And we aren't that far from the XFL. They're coming. If the NFL is really serious about moving forward with a proposal like this that actively hurts its product, then they have never been more ripe to be picked in this case than by an upstart football league that already has teeth into networks, already has a quality coaching and front office people in place. You're talking about a basketball league that is impossibly popular right now, that has become a 12-month-a-year sport. And you still have college football, which is provincial in a way that the NFL is not. The NFL is more about individual stars than college football. College football is more about your team, your squad, your banner. The NFL is like that too, but it's more dependent on stars to generate interest. This plan, if you want to go to 18 weeks, that's fine. And think about the difference in money. 18 weeks versus 19 weeks, because if you're going to play an 18-game schedule, you have to have 19 weeks because you have to have a bye. You probably have to have two bye weeks. So now we're talking about a 20-week schedule. Tell me how that works. Tell me how that makes sense. Are they going to start earlier? Is this going to start pre-Labor Day now? Is the season going to run into mid-January? And now we're talking about mid-February Super Bowls? That doesn't make any sense. 18 weeks versus 17 now. 18 weeks and a 16-game schedule. Because you still get to fill all 18 weeks with content. You still get to fit all 18 weeks with product, with programming. You don't get to charge at the gate. If you're a team like the Packers, you don't get to charge at the gate anymore. But you get to split a bigger pie of TV dollars. And there's going to be a higher price to be paid for more content. And ESPN is going to have an extra week of shows because that property is going to be so much more valuable once the season starts. Maybe, you know, if you push the season forward a week pre-Labor Day, now you've compressed the training camp cycle and you become more relevant earlier in the summer. You get people talking about football a little bit sooner because the season comes sooner. That's all stuff that is a potential benefit for the league, but it makes sense. And because it makes sense, they're just not interested. Now, there is a really interesting Packers angle in all of this, because Mark Murphy has, over the course of his career, as Pro Football Talk has pointed out, been staunchly anti-expansion of the schedule. And seems to have, I wouldn't say he has done a full about face, but in an article in The Athletic said he would be interested. He proposed a 17-game season with an extra game at a neutral site and one less preseason game. He said he understood that an 18-game season where only 16 players or only 16 games could count for a player would be a hard sell for fans. That's what he called it. And he's still talking about the player safety part of this. But what's interesting, and here's the quote. I'm going to read the quote. There's some things that we can do in the season structure that would allow us to play more games at neutral sites, either internationally or non-NFL cities, that would help us grow the game. So they've talked about expanding the playoffs. That's something that could happen. We don't need more playoff games. The international aspect. They love the London games. They love them. They love the Mexico City games. They love being able to move these NFL games and go into markets that there is not an NFL team. How fun would it be for the Saints to play a game in Baton Rouge with those crazy LSU fans? How fun would it be for the Packers to play at Camp Randall Stadium? There are, especially if you're going to try and suck in college markets. I understand the appeal of this. And then you think internationally. You could play in Paris. You could play in more than just London. You could play, there would, under these circumstances, almost certainly be a Chinese game, a Japanese game. Maybe you play in Australia. Probably not going to go back to Hawaii, but maybe. Obviously, that's not international, but there are opportunities here for stuff like that. And if that's what the league wants to do, if that's why they want to expand the schedule so they can play some more neutral site games, and we'd have to see how the revenue works and all of that, because, you know, who is someone giving up a home game? Well, no, we're adding a game. And so that gate, does that just go into the main pot? Does that go into, so that's a revenue share? Because that would be one reason why teams would be into it, because they don't have to give up a home game, which is their own gate, and then all that money goes into the pot and they share it. Everybody wins. My question would be, how many places can you go? You know, the Mexico City game was a mess in terms of, are they going to cancel? Are they not going to cancel? Where can they play if they are going to cancel, et cetera, et cetera. The London game is 6 hours on an airplane from the East Coast is far. And if you're a West Coast team, it's much further. Jacksonville, who always has to go, that's a much longer flight from Florida. It is a big ask on these teams, on the bodies of these players. Now, yeah, cool. You want to go play in Munich? You want to go play in Italy and try and get some European soccer fans interested? It would be a cool experience for players, that's for sure. And there is something to be said for trying to grow the game internationally. The NBA has done a great job of it, and I think the NFL is looking around and saying, why aren't we doing this? Why don't we have camps in China? And why don't we go to Africa and try and teach people the game and give them the tools to play? Why aren't we doing more things to try and grow the game around the world? That's a fair question to ask, and I think a smart question to ask, frankly. Why they haven't asked it sooner, you know, NFL Europe does not count, right? I mean, that was a failure. Because it was, in part, because it was expensive. I think that the danger, you know, that you run into in these moments is, you know, the London games are a novelty, and that's cool. And a lot of fans come from around Europe. They go to those games. There's only a handful of those a season. If the NFL played games in Paris and they played games in Munich, and they played games, you know, in Milan, and they played games, you know, in, you know, Argentina, you know, where Messi's from. They're going to go to Portugal. They're going to go to Brazil. Number one, are they really going to go to those places? Are there fans that are going to go to those places? And once, is the novelty enough to sell it around the world? And then I think perhaps more importantly here, from a player safety standpoint, is the league going to be smart enough to say, we have to structure this in a way that gives everyone, when they play these international games, a bye afterward? And because you don't want to do it in the middle of the season, or maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe that is the time to do it. Maybe you have, you know, an NFL All-Star break. And it's not really an All-Star break, but in the middle of the season, in November, everyone goes and plays a neutral site game, and then everyone has a week off. I don't think the NFL would do that, but I think it would make sense. Because the NBA does that. And they take a week off, and no one seems to care that there aren't games a couple nights. So if everyone went in the middle of the year and they got to go play, and your team got to go somewhere cool and play, and maybe you got to go follow them. If the Packers got to go play in Rome, I'd be on the first flight. And I'm sure there are a lot of fans that are like me in that regard. Some of you are listening because you live in Italy, or you live in France, I mean, we have an international show here. We have Serbian listeners. Shout out Novak Djokovic. Then you take a break. Everyone comes back, and the season resumes. Now, that would make the bye week thing a little wonky. You'd have to go to the extra bye week. So you'd go to an 18-week season with 17 games. And then it's not technically a bye, so it's really a 19-week season. I mean, that would have to be worked out. You certainly, if you're the NFL, don't want it week 17. You don't want it the last week, because then you're going to get guys, you know, the point is to grow the game. And then, you know, if Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady's not playing, how much does that really help you as a product? It doesn't. So there is a way to make this work. I am dubious of it, but it's pretty clear what this is about. This is about money. This is about trying to generate more revenue and doing it at the cost of the players, doing it at the cost of the quality of the product. And, you know, I wish someone like Mark Murphy had fought harder to say this is stupid. I do think there is an allure of neutral site games. The college football, they're a ton of fun, and they can be a ton of fun, especially rivalry games. You don't want to play, though. Packers-Bears are not going to move to a neutral site. So, you know, okay, Packers-Cowboys, that's a cool rivalry, but not everyone has a rivalry. So you can't do it that way. There are plenty of ways that we could improve the NFL schedule by doing some of the stuff that college football does, doing some of the stuff college basketball does, or that the NBA does, or that Major League Baseball does, for that matter, and the NFL is just not going to do it. For the same reason we talked about in the first segment, because it makes too much sense. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow for our conversation with Javale Davis, and you're not going to want to miss it. He is a really fun, really engaging young man, and I'm officially old because I called someone a young man. Oh, my God. And he's someone that frankly, I'm going to be rooting for just because of the way he carries himself. And, you know, I'm interested to get feedback on the conversation. I sent a note to my editor at SB Nation after I talked to Joel. We recorded this last week. And I said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because he carries himself like a guy who knows what he has to do to make this team. He has clear eyes about it. And he seems determined to do it. And the kind of conversations he's having, he's doing the right things, was mentored by Odell in New York, is sitting next to Devontae Adams in training camp, in these meeting rooms, trying to get better, trying to grow his craft. And I think by the end of our conversation tomorrow, you are going to be rooting for him too. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Packers, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. You will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that. I'm sure the questions are going to come fast and furious once training camp opens in just a little less than 2 weeks, if my math is decent on this. So hit me up there, 920-341-3775. It's your best bet to always stay Locked On Packers.